What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 204. And this week, our podcast is brought to you by our new merch store. So we have merch.
Wait, not Amazon?
Not Amazon.
It's not so Amazon.
We have a new merch store, which you can see I'm rocking the premium hoodie, which we got this pretty cool logo. It's kind of hard to see, and you'll definitely be harder to see in the video here. But it's basically this cool little, you know, our logo with some circuitry there.
Yeah.
But we have it on a ton of different stuff. If you head on over to the merch page, it's just thinkcomputers.org/merch. We have guys t-shirts, girls t-shirts. We have some mugs. We have some stickers, all different kinds of stuff. Just to, you know, have some Think Computers gear. So when we're on the podcast or doing videos or just out and about, we can have Think Computers. And I have a t-shirt here as well, so you guys can kind of see what that looks like. This is the Tri-Blend tee.
And you said they were pretty soft too. That was
the Tri. Well, see, they have regular hoodies, and so we did this all through Teespring, and they have regular hoodies and premium hoodies. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that the regular hoodies are kind of crappy. So we went with the premium ones, and they actually feel like almost like a Tri-Blend hoodie, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So they feel really soft. The Tri-Blend T is so soft. It just feels awesome. And the printing is actually really good. So like, you always worry about getting stuff printed and you, like, it coming off, but it comes off
or it's like super stiff.
Yeah, it's not stiff. You know? It's like, it feels nice. Like, I can just crumple this all up and like, I don't have to worry about it like cracking or any of that kind of stuff. So pretty pumped about all that. And we'll just have some merch. So, you know, we'll probably be doing some giveaways on the merch. And we do have, for everybody on the podcast, we do have a promo code. So it's TC19. If you enter that at checkout, you'll get 15% off your order, your entire order. So, and that goes to the first of the year. So you'll have time to pick out a shirt, a mug, a sweatshirt, whatever you want, and you get 15% off. So again, it's just TC19, and it's thinkcomputers.org/merch. We can put it up there for you guys. So I'm pretty pumped. I like how the design came out too. So first time getting t-shirts made and be wearing these in our videos. So I'm really, I'm pretty pumped about that. But as always, guys, we have our show notes. So for everybody watching along with us, or if you're listening to the audio later, we have our show notes page, which is listed in the description. It's listed in the description on your podcasting app as well. So you'll be able to follow along with us. But yeah, let's start with our reviews this week. And wait, did I introduce you? I don't think I did. this other good looking guy on the video is Ryan. What's up, man?
Not a whole lot.
I was so pumped about the new merch.
No,
that I totally forgot that you were even here.
I'll just sit back and keep my mouth shut, I guess.
Yeah. So sorry about that. But yeah, Ryan is here. But let's get into reviews. And we'll talk about this because it is one of our news stories as well. Is that AMD, you know, we talked about it for a couple weeks now, but they finally released the RX 5500 XT. Which has been kind of like a highly sought out card. And I'm actually surprised at just how much people wanted this card. But I guess it makes sense because, again, not everybody has all that money to spend on a graphics card these days. Yeah. And this card comes in at $199 for the 8 gig version. So they're doing it just like they did their Polaris series cards. You can get a 4 gig or an 8 gig when it comes to VRAM. So the 8 gig version is $199. The 4 gig version is $169. But this the 5500 XT has 22 compute units, 1408 stream processors, 88 TMUs, 32 ROPs, and 128 bit wide GDDR6 memory interface. Which again will carry either 4 gig or 8 gig depending on what you're getting. This is completely AIB launched card, so there's no card that actually looked like this.
They show that Radeon card, and I was thinking I thought this was AIB's only, not nothing in-house, but
yeah, so I don't know why they actually have a pitch, but I guess because they needed one, maybe.
Yeah, what are you going to show? I mean, I guess you could show a naked PCB or something, but anyhow.
Yeah, this it is slower GDDR6. It's 14 gigabit. It's not. Yeah. It's, you know.
Save some costs there, probably.
Yeah, TDP of 130 watts, and this is basically made to be the 1080p card. I mean, that's what it is. It's going against NVIDIA's GTX 1650, 1650 Super, and 1660, mm-hmm. because there's so many price points on the NVIDIA side. And we took a look at the Sapphire Pulse version, and Pulse is kind of like the just above entry level when it comes to this on the Sapphire side. Like, this isn't a reference card. But it's not their Nitro Plus, which is like their higher end. So this is like just right above that. And we've reviewed a few Pulse cards in the past, and this is kind of like what you would expect. You have a custom cooling solution. You do have a slight overclock, and you just have a better design. But one thing I really liked, and we'll get into performance in a second, but one thing I really liked about this card is that, again, this is the Pulse series. It's not the crazy high-end series, but you do get a full backplate, and it's metal. Usually,
yeah, I was expecting, you know, plastic on quite a few of these models, just being that entry level kind of card.
Yeah. So, I mean, on the Gigabyte side and the MSI side, like their lowest tier card right above reference always has a plastic backplate. Yeah. It just always does. MSI has done it since the 2060. I think a lot of companies started doing that with the 2060 actually. You know,
and I wonder about that, right? You've got an aesthetic piece, but how much is it actually trapping heat since it's plastic instead of, you know, if it was metal, at least maybe making some contact and dissipating some heat. It must not be enough to matter, I guess. Otherwise,
yeah, I mean, again, you do see it on the lower end cards, cards that aren't going to be getting that hot per se. Yeah. So
old man's asking if we recommend the 8 gig, which I think we'll kind of get to.
Yeah, we will get to that in a second. So this card, and I think the front of the card, it's pretty basic, right? You do have a dual fan cooling solution, which is gonna be better. Well, there is no reference. It's not gonna be better than reference because there is no reference.
Right.
But it's a decent cooling solution. It doesn't run all that loud either. And the only other thing about this card, it does have a BIOS switch. By default, it's on performance, which is what it should be on. And then there's a silent BIOS, which will actually make the fans not run as fast if you want a more silent operation. But of course, that's going to make the card get a little hotter. Yep. Basic layout here, 3 DisplayPort, 1 HDMI. And then when it comes to performance, I mean, this is a rock star at 1080p, and that's what it's designed for. You know, I think when it comes, again, it's a 1080p card. 1440p, you can do it, but you're
not at the frame rates you probably want to
see. Yeah, like maybe esports titles and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, it's, you know, yeah. So I think when it comes to the 4 gig versus the 8 gig, if you wanted to get into 1440p in some titles, the 8 gig is where you're going to want to go. Also, if you wanted to play esports titles at faster frame rates, like you're not just getting over 60, you want to get like 90, you know, or something like that in the higher frame rates, then the 8 gig is where you're going to go. I think if you're really limited when it comes to your display, like a 1080p 60 hertz, I think 4 gig will do you just fine. But I think that going forward and as we get into newer titles and things like that, the 8 gig will serve you better over the long run. So,
sure.
Yeah. You know, that's just kind of where you want to, I would get the 8 gig. If it's $200 card, I would get the 8 gig for sure. But talking about price, that's kind of where AMD is its own Achilles heel here, because we didn't have an RX 570 or 580 to test this against. I didn't have one. Okay. But the performance is similar enough where you can get a used RX 580 for $100.
Yeah.
And this card is $200. So one, if you were doing a budget build, that extra $100 could go further on another product.
Right.
SSD, better RAM, things like that. You know, this that could even change, like having a case with like just the stock fans to getting three some RGB fans or something like that, or you know, buying an AIO instead of a Hyper 212, which a lot of people do for their, you know, budget build.
I mean, you could go up a level in a CPU even.
Yeah,
so $100 difference, like.
And the thing is too is like if you do have a Polaris based card like that, there's no reason to upgrade. There's just, it's not a card that says, hey, I'm the next new thing. Like I have this crazy big performance. So I think it's a great card. AMD did a lot with their Radeon software, which can take the card even further in certain titles. I didn't have time to test it, but with Radeon Boost, especially in like PUBG, like your frame rates go crazy if you have Radeon Boost turned on and things like that. You know, it's the new architecture, it's more power efficient, like it's all these things that you want a new card to be,
right?
But for the price of what's out there, and if you already have a Polaris card, the performance isn't crazy. And again, it's not like we're comparing a 580 to a 5700 XT,
right? That's where there's a significant difference, right?
Yeah, so for a $200 card, I think it's great, but I just think that it's hard to say for somebody who's on Polaris, like, yeah, you should upgrade to this, because I don't think you need to, you know, unless you're like crazy about the environment and you want to save some power, you know, you know, so like I said, it has good performance. And, you know, like I said, you can sneak in 1440p if you turn your settings down and things like that. It's not going to do anything in 4K, obviously. But yeah, like I said, I like Sapphire's card. I think it's a good entry point. And it's $209.99, so you're paying $10 for the better cooling solution and stuff like that. And their Trix software is actually quite good for motherboard software. So,
okay.
So let's move on to our next product. And it's one product that I've actually been really pumped.
You've been talking about it all the whole time you've been using it.
Yeah, and so we talked about this before, about these lightweight mice. Mm-hmm. And lightweight mice, I was like, that's so stupid.
They're my favorite, so I don't know what you were talking about it previously.
Yeah,
I think you've changed your opinion maybe.
Yeah. And just Vergs in the chat, he said the prices was killing the 5500 XT, and I agree with you, but AMD can't sell this card for cheaper, you know what I mean, and make money. I don't think they can. So it's just like, until the Polaris series cards kind of leave, and there's a ton out there because of the whole cryptocurrency thing. So it's just, it's kind of be like a time thing. Or if you're building a new system, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
To get, if you're the building newer
from scratch, yeah, sure, go for it.
Yeah, so, but anyways, back to mice. So I loved that Corsair mouse that I had. It was super heavy. I really liked it. But then I saw everybody, you know, all of these esports people and streamers, and everybody's talking about these lightweight mice. I'm like, I don't know. But then I got the Cooler Master MM710, and I loved it. And then Glorious PC Gaming Race, who kind of came out of nowhere with their Model O mouse, they asked us to review the Model O. And I was like, sure, like I want to see, because this is kind of like the standard. When people talk about lightweight mice, this is the one that's referenced all of the time, for the most part. So we took a look at this mouse. They have a white one now, which kind of matches my new setup, which I absolutely love. Yeah, and I have to say that RGB lighting looks so much better on white products, just putting that out there, because it just does, like white cases, white, like RGB lighting just looks awesome. I wish I could, I can get it in the frame here. So it is an awesome mouse. So super lightweight. It's not as light as the MM710. This is 64 or 68 or 69. I forget. It does not.
Where'd it go?
Is it not on there? That's weird. I have it here somewhere in the review. I believe it's 67. Grand. Yeah. So 67. The MM. Oh, I can't. That one's connected. The MM710, which I try to pick up, that one is 52, which is, they're considerably different, but the feel of this one is so much better. It does have RGB lighting. That one doesn't. And I think that this just looks amazing sitting on your desk. But performance is great on this as well. It has Omron switches, the PixArt 3360 optical sensor. It is a great mouse. They've done a great job with the cabling as well. I do have to say that the cabling on the Cooler Master mouse was better. They're kind of the same, but the Cooler Master one is just done better in my opinion. Here's the two side by side. This one, the Model O is a little bit longer, which took a little bit to get used to, but I actually like how it feels on my hand now. So when I, you know, move back and forth, it feels better. Like I just feel like I have more support for my hand, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, but typical, you know, two main button layout with two buttons on the side. Again, you don't want to add too much, you know, more weight to this. You have all the holes in it. I just think it's a solid mouse. I've been using it for about a month now as my main mouse. I haven't replaced it. I don't plan on replacing it. I like it that much. It does have the mouse feet on the bottom. And if you notice, all the corners are rounded. If you've had a mouse in the past that had mouse feet on it and they're not, those will eventually get caught on something.
They start snagging on your mouse pad.
Yeah, or yeah. Snag on your mouse pad. So they've thought that out as well. It's just a great mouse. They back it up with software. The software is not the greatest thing, but it works for what you need it for. You know what I mean? This isn't like an MMO mouse or anything like that. You know, but it's pretty easy to use as far as the software goes. You can set up to 6 different DPI settings that you can quick switch. The profiles are saved on the mouse as well. So if you're going to an event or a LAN or your friend's house, you will have all your settings on the mouse, so you don't have to, of course, you know, download software, or you can just set all the settings in the software and then uninstall the software if you really don't want it. Yeah. So yeah, so that's, you know, it's a great mouse. I really like it. I said in the review that the MM710 was a great mouse, but the this mouse really sets the standard. really sets a standard,
and it's priced pretty well too, right? Like right around $50.
Yeah, it's $49.99.
yeah.
And they're coming out with some, and they had a Model O minus, or I don't know how, what they're calling it, which is a little bit smaller. It's kind of the same profile as the MM710, so it's lighter and smaller. And they're coming out with a new one, which I can't talk about just yet, but they're coming out with another one as well.
Cool.
So yeah, so really cool stuff. I was actually surprised because you know, Glorious PC Gaming Race kind of came out of nowhere when it came to, you know, their products and stuff, and their products made sense, but it was like, you know, we have the standard brands, we have the Logitech, we have the Razer, we have the Corsair, you know, like what is this new brand that's coming out? But it's a quality product. I feel it feels really good in my hand. It feels quality. I like it. So I'm pretty impressed. They sent us their keyboard as well, which I'll be taking a look at in the upcoming week. So I'm kind of excited to see how that compares to, you know, all of the other standard gaming keyboards out there as well. So
sweet.
Pretty, like I said, pretty excited for that. And we will move on to some other stuff going on this week. We, of course, have Case Mod Friday. And that is where we, you know, go over a case mod that's been completed in the community. And this one is called 24K. And it's themed after gold, 24 karat gold, by our buddy Mike, who we always see every year at CES. And this is also part of the Case Mod World Series, which is in their 10th year, which just seems crazy. I'm old.
it's been going on for a while.
Yeah. So this was done in the Cosmos C700M case. He completely took the whole case apart. I love this picture.
Yeah, that was really cool.
All of his water cooling parts.
So many
there.
Fittings.
All of the fittings, all of the hard tubing.
All those distro plates as well.
Like... Yeah, all the distro plates. And one thing that was really cool about this is that I forget where he lives, in the Netherlands, or he lives overseas, but the actual block on the graphics card is coated in real 24 karat gold.
Oh, really?
It's hard to see. We do link his build log, and it's in there, the process that it went through to get gold plated and everything like that. But yeah, just so much cool stuff. Like, you can't even see, like, this is the backside of the motherboard, the heat shield on the motherboard. He painted gold, you know, all these little things that he does. He makes this custom back thing. Yeah, I thought that
thing was awesome.
So it allows him to move the motherboard forward more and kind of break out the case a little bit. Yep. He's done that on a few builds, actually, and I really like that as well. Hard tubing. And everything like that, just some good stuff from him. And I really like it, and I really don't think these pictures do it justice, but it's just a great build.
What it looks like on some of those, they're that you know, hex pattern is actually cut out of metal, and then on the side panels themselves, it looked like it was kind of a film. But either way, I love how he integrated that pattern into all over the build.
Yeah, it just looks great. And he installed the graphics card on the other side.
Yeah, and looks like a 3D printed little holder there.
Yeah, I believe that is 3D printed. A little holder here, and of course the water cooling and everything like that. It just, like I said, it's just a great build by him. I believe this will be at CES. I could be wrong, but I think it will be. And you can see the fans are even, you know, gold and everything. It's, like I said, it's just it lives up to the name of 24K, which is really cool.
Oh, does that? The one above that, did it show the gold block?
Yeah, you can kind of see
there. Inside there.
Yeah, huh. So really cool. Just some good stuff right there. So
yeah,
definitely check this one out. And as I always say, we do have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. So if you're interested in something, or you know, you want some motivation or inspiration to do a case mod, or you just want to see what's out there. Maybe you're new to computers and you just want to see like what can people do out there when it comes to computers, then just, you know, go ahead and check out our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. So let's talk about our video this week. And I did a video on a case I've actually had for a while. It is the Fractal Design Vector RS. And I'll put my...
Now, are they changing their name to just Fractal?
I thought
I'd seen something like that where they were, anyways.
This is the video. I did the review a couple months ago. It's still such a great case. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's a little different from Fractal Design because it's not as boxy as their Define series and things like that. Has the tempered glass inlay here, tempered glass panel, tempered glass panel on the top. Everything in the case is metal as well, which I love. Like a lot of times you see like hard drive trays being plastic and things like
flimsy,
that.
Yeah,
so everything in here is metal. It's a high quality case. I won't bore you with it here. I want you guys to go watch the video. We will have it linked in the show notes. Had a lot of fun shooting this one as well, so definitely go ahead and check that out. And that brings us to news, and the biggest thing of course was the 5500 XT launch. Yep. That's kind of the big thing. And then what's interesting about the 5500 XT is it kind of like there's probably going to be a 5600 XT. I'm guessing.
I think so. There's the gap between the 5500 and
there's a gap.
It's just too much for it to not.
And it's not what? It's 200 and the 5700 is 490. It's 499.
Yeah.
Right? I could be wrong. But yeah, so I think we will see a 5600 XT. Just saying.
Well, you can like an XFX 5700 XT is $400 at Best Buy.
Yeah, so $200 between models, and of course there is no. I mean, if this was the only card, it wouldn't be called the 5600, right? It wouldn't be called the 5500. So I'm sure we will see that. But moving on from graphics card stuff, we will talk about CPU stuff. And one really interesting thing kind of popped up this week is in a benchmark database, which is the Sci Software benchmark database. An Intel CPU showed up, 6-core, 12-thread, which is pretty standard, running at 3 gigahertz. So it'd be like any other 14 nanometer CPU they have, right?
Yep.
But the one thing that's interesting about it is if you go in, you can see that it has 1.25 megabytes of L2 cache, which is unlike any other processor they've ever come out with, which is weird, right? So the i9-10980XE has 1 megabyte of L2 cache. So what is this processor? A lot of people are saying that it's a new architecture. It has to be, because it's different, right? Right. So what is this? We don't know. We don't know if it's 14 nanometer, if it's 10 nanometer. We're not sure, but we know it's a new architecture. So we know
cores and clock.
We know cores and clock. But again, a lot of these database entries, when it comes to clock, it's like it's not their final clock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it is running on a, I don't know if that's a server board or whatever. It's a super micro board, and two of them were running on the board. So it's a dual socket board.
Yeah, because I'm seeing 24 threads there, it looked like.
Yeah. So it's just interesting because it's like, what is this architecture? Like, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, it's all questions right now. It's just kind of going around. People are pretty excited about it because it's like, oh, new architecture from Intel, finally.
Yep.
It's not Skylake based. Let's go. Like, we're ready. Yeah.
What do you got?
Yeah. So we don't know. Obviously, when more comes out, probably maybe get something about this at CES, I would hope.
Yeah.
But we have the link to the original article on Tom's Hardware. They talk about it. So if you're interested, you can kind of dig more into this and into all the rumors and everything like that. But we'll move on to something really cool. I don't think it's cool because it's practical, so I don't feel it's practical, but I feel that it's awesome. And if I don't even think my graphics card could do this, but Asus monitor was listed on a Taiwanese retailer website. And searching the internet, I found the marketing materials for it. And it indeed is a 280 hertz monitor. It is the Asus Tough Gaming VG2790M, and they're calling it the Flash, which I guess is because it has this crazy high refresh rate.
So what I'm kind of confused about is, I mean, in this image here, we have the ROG logo and Republic of Gamers name, but do they usually brand and market their Tough series as ROG? I don't remember usually ever seeing that.
Me neither.
Hmm.
So I don't know. Does Tough Gaming fall under ROG? Because I don't think it does.
That's the, you know, ROG's
usually the ROG's the high end. Tough Gaming is like middle ground,
right?
And then you have all the other stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's kind of weird. So on this website, when you translate it, the Taiwanese website, it says it has a refresh rate of 240 hertz, which
280 or 240. No,
240, okay. Which makes us think that you'll have to overclock the monitor, which we've seen before, or you need to have Asus software to run it at 280 hertz. The thing that is weird, well, one, it's a 1080p monitor, which makes sense because you're not going to run any game at 240 hertz or higher with any any mainstream graphics card out here. But 280 hertz at 1080p, there's not going to be a whole lot of games that are going to push, you know, the 280 frames a second that you need. I had a 2080 Ti, and you know, even like Counter-Strike Source, like, yeah, it could do 240, but it was kind of huffing, you know. Maybe esports games, but it's not like you're going to play your brand new AAA titles at 280 hertz.
No.
You know, but I just think it's kind of a marketing thing, right? You know, our monitor can do this.
Right.
It's not very practical.
Right. How practical is it? And what does it take to actually do it?
Yeah. So. But I assume, you know, we'll probably see this at CES just because it's kind of a big deal.
Number for them not to show it off then, I think.
Yeah. I haven't seen another monitor faster than 240, unless I'm wrong.
There was some laptop recently I thought that I saw that was like had like a 240 screen in it.
Yeah, the Razer one.
Razer, right? Yeah.
Okay. But again, you need something really even at 1080p, you need something really, and you need to be playing like Counter-Strike Source or Overwatch or those type of games that don't really take a lot, or like Fortnite, you know, like games like that that don't really tax your system.
Fortnite can be a little taxing sometimes.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, again, like, you know,
what are you gonna play? Yeah,
yeah. So that's the only thing with this, but it is really cool because it is, again, I don't know if it's probably not the world's first, but it's probably like one of the first available ones that's this high, I'm guessing. Maybe. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. So we'll let you guys know more. If it is at CES, we'll let you guys know for sure. Talking about other super like really fast or really high end stuff. And then real quick in the chat, Old Man said that 144 hertz is a sweet spot for monitors. It is, for sure. 144 hertz is very doable in a lot of games, and it just looks so smooth. Maybe if you're a pro esports, like pro Counter-Strike player or something like that, 240 is like, you know, but I think 144 hertz is great. I think even just over 100 is good. A lot of, you know, all around monitors will do 100, and I think that's awesome. And a lot of them support FreeSync as well. So, but back to something that's super fast. And in all the times that we talked about PCI Express Gen 4, I always said, this is the beginning. It's going to get faster. So initially,
and we're already there.
Initially, PCI Express 4.0 M.2 SSDs, like they maxed out at 5 gigabytes a second. But this new Lexar drive hit 7 gigabytes a second, which is very impressive. It did it in IO meter. And this is their new drive. And Lexar did say this is the speed that they're trying to hit with the drive for like the final release.
Pretty impressive.
They showed this off at an event in China, so we don't know a whole lot about this drive. Obviously, by the looks of it, it's kind of hard to see there, but the looks of it, this doesn't look finished.
I'm guessing we're not going to get a green PC board.
Yeah, or anything like that. But this was just showing the speed that it could do. The speeds in Crystal Dismark were a little bit slower, but still faster than any PCI Express Gen 4 drive that I've ever tested. In the read at least, which was 6.2 gigabytes a second or 6,224 megabytes a second, which is crazy fast. So I don't think it's using the Phison controller, but I could be wrong. They could have done something with firmware. We don't know, but that's just impressive. It's super impressive. I said, PCI Express Gen 4, we're on the, like...
I mean, there's how many like drives available right now? Not a ton, a handful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And they're all based on the same controller.
Right.
So, you know, it's, again...
Long ways to go.
A lot of companies put those out and they didn't even touch the firmware, really. A lot of companies, you know, there's other players out there when it comes to SSD controllers. There's all this, like, it's going to get faster and faster. So I'm pretty excited about this drive. Again, something we might see at CES or something like that, or, you know, we might see like the newer drives at CES. So like I said, I'm really excited for that.
Lexar usually works with on their flash or uses,
probably Toshiba, I'm guessing. So Old Man said, what's the use case for a drive like that? Honestly, like, you could use it for games, because loading games, I have on the test system that's behind me, I have a normal 2.5 inch SSD. And when I run Battlefield, like when I benchmark, it takes a while to load it. It just does. Mm-hmm. This is for people who obviously don't care about price and they just want something super fast. This is also for like video development.
If you're moving a lot of video files around, large files, and you just for some reason need them to be moving.
Or if you're, within Adobe software, there's scratch disk things like that. And all that's kind of like the use case as well. But again, any like a normal person, again, for gaming, for even a media drive, the faster it is, I mean, the faster it's going to open. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, like I said, I hate waiting for Battlefield. Like when I do my benchmarks, I absolutely hate.
They're so time consuming.
Yeah, I hate it. So like I said, it's from Lexar. I assume we'll see newer SSDs at CES. So I'm pretty excited. I keep on talking about CES. It is like 3 weeks away. So
yep.
I'm pretty pumped for it. And we'll talk about NZXT. And they announced new cases as part of their CRFT or craft series. We've seen it in the past. They did like a Player Unknown Battlegrounds theme case. They did the Fallout one. They have a couple more. So this is their fifth one. And they have partnered with Blizzard, and they've done World of Warcraft cases.
So this seems 5-10 years late.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Like I haven't played World of Warcraft in 9 years, almost 10, right? And I just feel like I don't hear about it as much as I do. You used to always hear, you know, however many million players they had at the time. I do think the cases look good, and I think it's a cool design and everything.
I think it would have been better if they did it at the launch of WoW Classic. You know what I mean? That launched like 6 months ago, maybe?
Yeah.
I think.
Something like that.
That would have been like the perfect time. Well, maybe they saw the popularity of WoW coming back a little bit because of that, and then they reached out, or Blizzard, like however they did it. I mean, they're cool, and if I was like a serious WoW player, I would definitely consider it. You know, the wrap or whatever they have on here is actually really good. You know, and like I said, they have one for Horde and one for Alliance, which obviously makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, but like I said, it's just like, you know, I think it's a great thing that they do. There's only 1,000 pieces of each one being made, you know.
Well, that's a game that came out in 2004.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's like, there's so many good games. We could say one that we always play is like Apex Legends, but I wouldn't say it's as popular. But like, there's, you know, Call of Duty that just came out. Obviously, Star Wars with the Star Wars game and movie out, like, you know what I mean? There's Fortnite. They did a ninja one that was the
ninja one. Yeah,
which... they did do the ninja one, which is I guess Fortnite related, but they could have done an actual Fortnite one. And there's a lot of other games that I think could have done this, but I think they look good. They're $199 each. I don't know, I assume that's a premium over the normal H510, which this is based off of. But like I said, and it's kind of hard to tell, but these logos do light up right here.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of cool.
The same.
But yeah, if, like I said, if you're a WoW person, this is really awesome. But again, like, you know, I wouldn't say WoW's coming to an end. I don't think it will, but it's not.
It just seemed a little late to the party.
Yeah, it's just a little late to the party and everything like that. Yeah, and Old Man, he said that he saw WoW keyboards and mice. And yeah, I remember seeing all that stuff, you know, years ago.
I reviewed a WoW keyboard like
really
a long time ago. It was like, I forget who made it, but you could swap out the key designs. Like, it came out in like this three piece.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it was kind of.
For all the macros and all your spells and stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'll have to find that now.
But yeah, so those are out. We have the link if you want to pick one up. Again, there's only 1,000 of each one. That'd be cool for like a collector's item. Like, I would like put it up on my wall or something, right? But
yeah.
But yeah, so check that out. And we'll talk about really this is no surprise to me, this story. So in Outlook or Windows 10 Mail, which I don't use, there's a little ad that says, you know, get Gmail on your phone, which you would think if I click this, I'll download the Gmail app on my phone.
Right.
But when you click it, it goes to down Outlook on your phone, which is borderline, I don't know the word, a little shady from Microsoft. But again, I'm not surprised by this at all. But it is kind of annoying. I just say it's false advertising. I know that technically in Outlook, you can add your Gmail account. You can do that. But I just don't, I don't like that this is an ad that says Gmail that's not Gmail. If that makes
sense. Well, I mean, it's not the Gmail interface, but it is your Gmail account.
I think it's kind of shady. I could see, especially like the EU getting pretty upset about something like that.
They're pretty picky.
But it is kind of funny because it's just like, it's like, oh, Microsoft back at it again. Like,
they've been doing pretty good so far too, or lately it feels
lately they've been doing pretty good, but it's like
Microsoft, and
you just give us like, you know, get a couple years and back at it, which is kind of funny. But yeah, it's really funny. So if you from what we know, because again, I don't use Microsoft Outlook, I don't use Windows 10 Mail, I don't use any of that. But apparently in Microsoft Outlook as well as the calendar app, this little text ad shows, I guess I should put it up, the text ad right here shows, and there's no way to get rid of it or anything like that. It's just there. And I guess some people are kind of upset because they're like, I don't want Outlook on my phone, I want Gmail, right?
But, yeah, I mean, I use Outlook, and I just went here to add an account on my phone, and it like allows me to add a personal, and it's showing my Google account or the availability for it. So
yeah, so it's like, again, technically you can do it, but it's just the way it's presented is kind of just a little weird, that's all. But we'll move on to Corsair, and Corsair is trying to dominate the world of gaming.
Feels like it.
Yeah, so they took over
Scuf.
Well, yeah, but no, but before that, Elgato, and who did they take over?
Origin.
In Origin. So their first thing was Elgato, right? Which is all of, you know, your streaming accessories and
Stream Deck lights.
Yeah, Stream Decks and things like that. Green screen. You know, the green screens and all that stuff. And then they took over Origin PC, which makes sense because they can integrate all their products into those builds. And it just gives them, like, you know, NZXT has their BLD service. We've seen other ones. I think you can buy full PCs through Thermaltake now. Gigabyte basically makes everything. So, like, all these companies are doubling down on all this. You know, and then now they just bought this company, which I've never heard of.
Oh, you never heard of Scuf?
No, because I'm not a console person at all. And I haven't been in a very long time. Like, the last console I had was Xbox 360.
They're a really well-known controller, you know, peripheral company.
So Corsair bought Scuf Gaming, which makes custom controllers for Xbox and PlayStation. If I'm pretty sure I'm correct on that. Yep. This is just a press release, but it makes sense. Corsair wants to be the, like, you know, that gaming brand. And what they've done is, you know, Corsair is really good at memory, RGB cases. Keyboard. You know, they're good at like a lot of hardware related things, but when it came to like Elgato, like, they didn't make their own Stream Deck. They just bought them and they allowed them to operate freely under the Corsair veil or whatever. Same thing with Scuf Gaming. It's going to remain the same company. The headquarters are going to remain in the same place. They're going to operate just under the Corsair veil, which is kind of cool. But I think this makes sense. It brings Corsair. I know, of course, some Corsair headsets are like compatible with PS4, but Corsair is more of a PC brand, and this kind of brings that brand into, you know, console, which I think for Corsair makes sense. So I don't know how much they did. It say how much they bought them for? I don't know.
I remember seeing numbers?
Yeah, I didn't remember seeing the numbers. But yeah, so they'll obviously allow them to, you know, run as their own separate company, which again is probably less hassle, unless they're like losing money like crazy or something like that, but a lot less hassle for Corsair as well. So nice little thing. And I guess, you know, at CES we might see some Scuf Gaming in the Corsair booth. Never know.
Yeah.
So yeah, but have you got any, like, any of that stuff from Scuf Gaming since you know them?
No, I have. I've just seen, like, you know, on social media, people, you know, talking about them, or it's one of the names I've heard. And I'm not a console gamer either, right? I have an Xbox One. But before that was, you know, a 360 and a PS3. But I never buy third-party controllers because I'm just not, it's not like the PC where I do buy a gaming mouse and a gaming keyboard and all of that. I just use whatever comes with the console. But being that far detached, I at least have heard of that name. It's kind of like that name. And then, the controller you always give, like the neighbor kid or your little brother. Like, I don't know. There's always like the crummier version, but SCUF has always been like a pretty.
So like when I saw the headline, I thought it was like a gaming team.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah. Because like I didn't know. Or something. Yeah. So like I didn't know. And then I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense. You know what I mean? So yeah. And our last little piece of news, this has been a pretty quick pod. It seems like this podcast has gone very quickly. Yep. Our last little piece of news has to do with Half-Life Alyx, and some disappointing news to some people, but because it's a VR game, this kind of makes sense. Half-Life Alyx will not feature any multiplayer whatsoever.
Okay.
There was an interview with The Verge, of all people, and they said that there will not be multiplayer at all. They said at this point, which I don't think they're going to. For a VR game, it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean?
That's not what I'm looking for in this game, anyways.
There's always good to do multiplayer like campaign.
Yeah.
But they're designing this as a standalone. They're designing this as a standalone VR experience, mm-hmm. Where you go through like a path, and this is where and everything is designed that way. So that's kind of like, it's kind of expected. But I know a lot of people are disappointed that you couldn't
co-op or something.
I think a game like this would be. I mean, games like this have been great co-op. But that is it for news. Not a whole lot going on. We are 3 weeks out from CES, which is means I got to get a lot of work done before that. talking about that work, because we got the 5500 XT in and I wanted to get that out, the review out for you guys, we pushed our other reviews back. So I will be looking at the Inwin 309 coming up. It has the cool little display up top, which we'll get into when I talk about the review. Great quality in this case as well, so we'll talk about all of that, and I'll be taking a look at a monitor, which is the Aorus, which one is it, it's this, I always forget it, it is, yeah, it's a CV27Q, here it is. It's their curved display, really cool monitor, and it has a lot of these gaming features of these like cheating features, which we'll talk about.
Does it have some of those features we saw?
It has some of those
the tactical
features, yeah. the tactical features, yeah. Which we'll go over in the review as well, so definitely stay tuned for that. And then you'll be looking at an AIO.
Yep.
And you'll be looking at the Silverstone PF240 ARGB.
Yep.
Good to see that this actually comes with an RGB controller. So you don't need a motherboard that has...
I mean, it's a real basic controller, right? It's got a mode button. And
yeah, but the thing that a lot of people forget is I've received products that are ARGB that do not come with a controller.
Right. And if you're putting it on an older system that doesn't have a header on a motherboard, I guess
it just won't even turn on. Like there's no point to get it. So it is nice that it does come with the controller. That's all I want, to say about that, which, yeah. Sure. But it looks like it works with everything, including Razer Chroma RGB, which I don't know. I guess that would work through your RGB header still, right?
I guess, yeah.
And then you just install the software and it recognizes it? I don't know how that works. That was weird. But anyways, this is their 240mm version. Ryan will have that for you guys next week as well. And it is getting to that time, the end of the podcast, where we talk about we did anything cool this week or anything like that. You had a lot of fun. What was it, last...
Saturday.
Saturday.
Yep. The Star Wars and Fortnite kind of mashup event. You know, Fortnite's known for putting on kind of in-game events, either tied to other pop culture things, this case being the release of Star Wars' latest final kind of entry. So yeah, there's video of me kind of hanging out. Obviously, we got the Millennium Falcon there that kind of flew in with some TIE fighters chasing it around. It landed there. We had kind of a presenter talking. J.J. Abrams kind of came out in.
And the thing I want to point out is that this was like J.J. Abrams talking was live. It was a live event. Exactly. And you, if you didn't get in, you couldn't see it. It wasn't like something that could be replayed or anything like that. Correct.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't know that when you were like, when we were watching, because I was watching you while you
Oh, really? You didn't? Okay.
I didn't. You eventually had told me because we were talking on Discord. But so I think that's super cool because it's like the person who is a director of the movie is talking to you in a game. That's like how far gaming's come. That's crazy.
Well, and the fact that they then show you a trailer for this movie coming out, you know, with unseen content so far, it's kind of cool. And then they kind of had you stand on like a little pad to kind of do some voting and, you know, what's your favorite lightsaber color? So you stood on them and then all of a sudden you're battling with that color of a lightsaber. So, yeah, I go run over onto the green pad and there I died.
And then you're you do also for doing this event. You got
I got the TIE Whisper glider.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool. Yeah, so that's a really cool. Like I said, that just shows you how far gaming has gone.
Oh yeah, right?
That this is like some in-game event that was going on, and I was watching, and I was like really, like I watch some streamers, but like Fortnite really isn't my game, so like it's not like I'm going to watch a Fortnite stream, right? Like at least for me. Right. But like watching this was like, this is really cool. Like this is a live thing going on that only so many people could get in, right?
Yeah. And well, that. A lot of trouble ahead of it too, you know, they pushed the event back. I didn't think I was going to get into it, and then all of a sudden I got a notification that it was available and got in. But yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's just like I thought it was really cool. And then they did add the lightsaber in the game after, so you could play with the lightsaber, right?
Yeah, I have not played since this event, and I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, so that's like I said, that's really cool. For me, I haven't done much. I've been working on reviews. I cleaned the office behind me a little bit. I watched you play Star Wars. I don't think there's anything else that I've done.
We did a little Apex the other night.
We did. So Apex Winter Event. We might want to play that a little bit. Yeah, might want to play that in a little bit. Like I'm trying to think. I ordered a bunch of stuff from CES, which I'll talk about.
You got a bunch of stuff to make our trip.
I'll talk about it next week. And all, like I said, all the merch came in. So
well, week is Christmas.
Oh yeah, so we might not be able to talk about
New Year's. So
we'll figure it out. But so guys, definitely if you're interested in the merch again. I'll put up the URL where you guys can go ahead and check it out. Just one design right now. Well, technically two designs. There's this design, and then there's a design where the kind of circuitry is black. If you're into that, and that basically allows it to go on. Like if you wanted a white shirt, because obviously the white circuitry won't show up on a white shirt. You know, so we have some stuff there if you want to check it out. And remember, guys, just for you guys, it's TC19 is the promo code that gives you 15% off your entire order. So definitely go ahead and do that. And then we're gaming tonight. We're playing some games.
We'll be live.
Yeah, we will be live here soon. It is twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. That's what we do every Wednesday night, guys. So if you want to come play with us, check out the link in the description for our Discord as well. So if you want to jump on there and get in some games with us, I don't know what we're going to be playing tonight, but we'll be playing probably Fortnite, Apex, maybe Overwatch, something like that. Who knows what we'll be playing. But for everybody on audio, you know, it is just Think Computers, all one word, in your favorite podcasting app or software. And what else was I going to say? There's one more thing I was going to say. We're not sure if we're going to do the podcast next week, because it's next Wednesday is technically Christmas Day, and then we have New Year's like the next week, we have CES coming up, so we'll put it out on social media when the next podcast will be, but definitely stay tuned on social media for some of our really cool end of year content that's coming up as well. So until next week, we'll catch you guys later.